Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The Game Fireball Hot Take Friday. We've got more news on the Carson Wentz front. So I was at Titans practice today, and we will get to the Titans practice grades in a little bit. But I was at Titans practice today, just watching practice, making the grades, who performed well, who didn't. And then Mike Vrabel had a press conference. Kevin Byard had a press conference. And once KB was done, I got on my phone and I was kind of filling out the grid for what we were going to talk about today. And all of a sudden I see a tweet from Adam Schefter that says, according to Mike Wells, the ESPN reporter for the Colts, kind of like Teron Davenport is here, there's an injury with Carson Wentz's foot. And immediately I said to Joe Rexroth, I turned around the other side of kind of the press area and I go, Carson Wentz is hurt. And Joe, of course, was like, oh, goodness. And TD was there, and we were talking about. And so it said that the Colts were getting more information, but Wentz was going to miss practice today. Well, missing practice today isn't the end of the world. For example, for the Titans, Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, DeNico Autry, Jeff Swaim, Derrick Henry, Jeffrey Simmons, Taylor Lewan, Ben Jones, Kevin Byard, and more missed most of practice today. And there's nothing special there. So at first it was going to miss practice. Then we had a report from Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo that they were just being cautious. Then we had another report from Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo, NFL Network, that, well, they're going to go send him to a foot specialist. And if he's got to miss games because we're 6 weeks away from the opener, it shouldn't be many games. And I'm like, red flag. Whoa. What's going on in Indianapolis with a player in Carson Wentz who never seems to ever be healthy? Now, this is what Mike Silver, NFL Network said, quote, I'm told the Wentz foot injury involves a bone and a ligament. Colts had been hoping for better news, are bracing for possible surgery. Silver says, quote, I'm also told that Wentz felt a pop at practice on Thursday. Ian?
That
what
does
do we
not
remember?
Sound good.
That does not. What do we remember about Floyd and feet?
Too many small bones in there. This is not a Rex Ryan situation,
no,
but too
not.
Many small bones in the feet.
Floyd was obsessed with the foot a la Rex Ryan, but for different reasons. And one of those reasons is a foot injury essentially took Javon Kearse from an elite possible Hall of Fame player to an average guy with a shorter than what should have been career. Turf toe, for example, is what slowed Eddie George down and probably kept him out of the Hall of Fame. Like we said, Floyd was obsessed with feet. This is a big one for Indianapolis and Carson Wentz. Anytime you hear anybody say that they heard a pop, that's not a good sign. Let me state for the record that I played sports my entire life. I exercise on a daily basis. I run. I lift. I play competitive sports, not at the level that I once did. But I still play basketball. I have never heard anything pop ever outside of your occasional joint just giving a little crack. Carson Wentz heard his foot pop. You mess with one of those little bone in the feet, that can be a 3, 4, 5, 6 month injury. Kevin Dodd had a similar thing with a metatarsal, never made it as a player for whatever reason you want. If I was an Indianapolis Colts fan, today would be red alert, and I'd be worried. And these are going to be developments out of Indianapolis that we will continue to follow. And while I don't think that the general manager, Chris Ballard, there is God's gift to football, as every national media person says every year, I will say this. If something's wrong with Carson Wentz, the man has had a heck of bad luck at that quarterback position. If something's wrong with Carson Wentz, I wonder if their next step, at that point, they probably have two choices, three choices. The first choice is to call the Dolphins and acquire Jacoby Brissett to come back and be the starting quarterback. That's their first choice. The second choice is to call the Chicago Bears and bring Nick Foles in to be their starting quarterback. Now, how would that be? For some drama, Indianapolis acquires Nick Foles to be the starting quarterback because Carson Wentz is hurt. Now, Indianapolis has the cap space to do whatever they want, but that's going to take a big chunk out of all that cap space that they'll have saved up for next year. The third thing would be, they're not going to let Jacob Eason be their starting quarterback.
Not if they want to win.
No. The third option would be seeing if they can get Phillip Rivers to come out of retirement. Now, I think that ship has sailed. But I'd much rather try to get Phillip Rivers out of retirement than try to bring Jacob Eason along and put him at quarterback and try to beat the Tennessee Titans. And even if they do those three things, bring back Brissett, bring in Nick Foles, try to bring back Rivers, I'm still not worried about Indianapolis as far as the Titans are concerned. I mean, this is bad news. Your head coach has COVID and is quarantining and can't coach practice, and your starting quarterback, the guy you are begging and hoping and praying for to come in and just please play like you did 4 years ago, even though it's not very likely, who can't stay healthy, is hurt 2 days into practice.
There's no telling what kind of moves they would think about trying to make, huh? If
I mean,
they
I was
found out Wentz was out for a while.
Sure. And let's say, and again, with Wentz, and I don't want to jump to conclusions, but when I hear ligament, that's not good.
And bone and surgical possible and seeing a specialist.
So
all,
I think
all points bad.
I think to your point, Ian, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I think it's all in layers. So I think the first thing is when I hear foot specialist, that's not very good.
Nope.
When you hear missing practice on Friday on June 30th, I could probably live with that a little bit. But when I hear foot specialist, that's not good. When I hear ligament, that's bad. When I hear surgery, that's bad. And then when I hear bones, then it's really bad.
When you're busting out Dr. Robert Anderson, you know, that's not good.
I mean, that is not good. Now, TD just sent this to me. He talked to Mike Wells, who again covers the Colts, about the Wentz injury. Because I did want to know, you know, if this happened on the practice field Thursday, was it something where Wentz was grabbing his foot and was rolling around and was screaming or something like that? Or was it something, and according to Mike Wells, it wasn't obvious that Wentz got injured, no limping, nothing. So maybe that would tell us that if there's pain associated, it's moderate. But again, when you hear foot specialist, ligament, surgery, and bone, for a guy who is always injured, which Carson Wentz is, I'd be getting really nervous if I were the Indianapolis Colts. And to your point, Ian, I was just thinking in my head, would you try to swing a deal for Deshaun Watson? That seems a little too risky.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's been speculation I saw. Would they reach out about Jimmy G? You know?
Oof.
I think there's a handful of options if it's as serious as they hope not. You know, but if it does turn out to be kind of serious, there's no telling what options are on the table. What, like you said, with their cap space.
Sure, and then who knows their system? I mean, to me, I think the most logical thing is Foles.
Foles does make sense, you know, as far as the Philly right connection there.
Well, and he's still in Chicago, I believe, right?
I think so. Or was that Andy Dalton?
I think Dalton and Foles are there, and Fields is there. So they would have no need in Chicago for Foles. So you call Chicago. Now, here's the thing, though, and we've also learned this from Floyd, too, which is if you're Chicago and Indianapolis calls you about Nick Foles, you're going to ask for the moon because you know they're over the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing where Indianapolis finds themselves. And then, of course, there's the Brissett option, who's the backup in Miami. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Corey Curtis, News 2, will join us coming up next. What does he think of the latest Carson Wentz news? What did he think of practice as well, as I saw him out there at Titans practice? Stillman & Company, and we will get to your texts. We will get to your tweets, calls, etc. 615-737-1025. Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. No better way to ignite the night and celebrate the fact that it is another summer weekend, and it is here, than with ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Country music is back downtown, and you know there is nothing better than having downtown Nashville packed the way it is with ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Nashville made Fireball famous. That's right. So let's get right back to it. Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey, ignite the night. Please do it responsibly. Be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Corey Curtis next, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman and Company. Again, we are keeping up with the latest on Carson Wentz here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Adam Schefter reported earlier today that he was going to miss practice with a foot injury. Then it came out that NFL Network said he was going to go see a specialist. Then it came out that surgery was on the table. Now Mike Silver, NFL Network, reporting that it's a bone and a ligament, and Wentz heard a pop. And that cannot be a good thing for a guy who is always injured. Now, we were kind of kicking around the possibility as to where Indianapolis goes from there if he does, in fact, miss some games. Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey, let's start with this. That's all the news we have right now on Carson Wentz. But I think it's pretty important, and I think it's a big development that we should be following about Indianapolis and the vow that Wentz, who never stays healthy, was going to revitalize his career and stay healthy, and it's 3 days in practice, and he's going to go see a foot specialist.
Well, I think where the Colts go right now is to the top 10 of the draft. I think that's the first place they go, because they're going to be drafting a quarterback next year, and they're not going to be very good this year, because I think Jacob Eason's their quarterback, and Sam Erlinger is their second-string quarterback now, and Blake Bortles is out there. So, you know, we looked at the Titans for years with Marcus Mariota's injury problems, and they finally took, you know, the backup seriously with Ryan Tannehill, and it really saved the organization. And that's why we look at the backup situation now, and we're like, you know, they've got to get this right. We understand the value of it. And for all the good things that Chris Ballard has done there, I'm not sure handling the quarterback situation is one of them, because putting all your eggs in the Carson Wentz basket after, I mean, just put on the film with him from last year. It's not good. And you had really no other real option behind him this year. I don't think that's a great plan. I think Chris Ballard's a very good GM, but I think that was a bad plan, and he's paying the price for it early. I don't know what they do. There's not a lot of good options out there, because if guys aren't on teams, it's because they're not good.
Corey, what do you think about the possibility, we were kicking this around last segment, of them calling Chicago and going after Nick Foles, or calling the Dolphins and trying to bring back Jacoby Brissett, or even trying to get Phillip Rivers out of retirement? And I said, I don't think either three options, if Wentz is going to miss a lot of time, I don't think either of those three options scare me to death as a Titan fan.
Well, look, if they called Chicago, Chicago would buy a Learjet, put Nick Foles on it with 100 footballs and all of Nick Foles' stuff. They would take the Bears' bus and move all of Nick Foles' things to Indianapolis if the Colts were willing to take Nick Foles off their hands. The Bears would be ecstatic with that. And I understand the Nick Foles coming up because of the work with Frank Reich in the past. But that shouldn't scare you at all. I think Phillip Rivers would be an interesting option if he because it's so early in camp.
Yeah.
And he's such a veteran that if he wanted to come back and play, unless he's gained about 80 pounds in his first offseason of retirement, he could come back and play. I don't know if that makes them a division contender or not, but it certainly puts them in a much better position to compete. And what was the third name you brought up?
Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, Jacoby, but yeah, I mean, he's a guy. I mean, you know, he might be good enough to win a couple games, but he doesn't scare anybody. That's why he's not starting anywhere.
Do you think, Corey Curtis, News 2 with us, and I know that we're going off of little information on this Wentz thing, but when I hear this guy who's always hurt, heard a pop in his foot, and he's going to have surgery, and it's a bone and a ligament,
yeah,
I think it's going to be bad. Like, I know, yeah. Again, not to get, I'm not a doctor. I think it's going to be bad.
I completely agree with you. Feet and ankles are tough because all of the bones and the veins and the muscles are very small. So healing is very, very difficult. And so they're tough to come back from. And, you know, look, in football, you do a lot of pushing off, whether you're a lineman or a quarterback or whatever. You're going to have to be able to push off. We don't know if it's his left foot or his right foot. I have a hard time believing that if he's got an injury, if he's going to have surgery on, that he comes back this season. That's virtually impossible for me to believe, because the healing process for feet is so, so difficult. And it's just, I mean, feet and ankles are just tough. And, you know, we've had a few guys, like you talk about that fifth metatarsal, you know, Javon Kearse. Remember, Kevin Dodd struggled with that early in his brief Titans career. I think it's one of the things that really shut him down early. Those are just not great injuries to come back from. And, you know, if you've got to have surgery, it's not good.
Corey Curtis, News 2 is our guest. You were out of practice yesterday. What is standing out to you so far at Titans camp? And kind of what were your thoughts seeing the team out there for the first time?
Well, I think their confidence is glaring. I mean, I think that this is a very confident football team. I think some of that comes from the bravado of the head coach, of course. I think a lot of it comes from winning, you know, five straight seasons of winning football, three trips to the playoffs, two in a row. And I think when you put up the type of numbers they did offensively last year and you add Julio Jones to the mix, I think that that pumps a lot of life into the entire football team. I think that confidence is definitely out there. You know, I think, you know, some players jump off the page at you. I mean, A.J. Brown is ridiculous right now. I mean, look, I feel silly talking about him because we know he's good, but you just go out there, and I joked with you yesterday, they're going to have to trade for somebody just to come in and try to cover him because they can't cover him in camp. And so he looks, you know, absolutely, you know, tremendous out there. I think Elijah Molden, you know, I just see his footwork and his effort and his natural instincts, and I go, boy, he's going to be tough to keep off the field. And I think, you know, Imani Hooker has done and said all the right things leading up to this camp and looks good out there as well. So I think they've got some youngsters, you know, who are going to show and are showing well. But we still haven't seen the two biggest additions to the defense. That's Farley and Dupree. So there's a lot to be seen. And, you know, I don't really have a hot take, but, you know, one of my takes for today was I didn't expect wide receiver to be the most competitive position on the team. But right now it's looking like that might be the most competitive position on the football team.
Absolutely. I keep – today was another day where Marcus Johnson, 88, yep, just kept showing up. Chester Rogers, yep, number 80, just kept showing up so far at training camp. Corey, how do you get a feel at camp? And I've been out there for 3 days, and I'm not sure if I have a feel yet. How can we get a feel that the defense is going to be better? Kevin Byard today talked about how the defense is going to be better. Vrabel said earlier in the week he believes in the defense. But how can, yep, we actually know that it's going to be better until they play Arizona week one?
Well, I think we have to see the compete level on the outside. I think that's one area. But with the pass rush, it's going to be hard to see it. I mean, that's just the way it is. Until they get out there and there's the live bullet flying, as we say, it's going to be hard to tell if they're going to be able to get pressure on the quarterback or not. That's just the way there is. So I think we can tell some on the compete level on the outside. But, you know, at the point of attack, that's something that's going to have to be proven down the road. And they've got a lot to prove down the road. And, you know, those young DBs can be as good as they want. If they can't get any pressure on the quarterback, it will wear them down, and it will be a bad second half to the season.
Corey Curtis, News 2 is our guest. Fireball Hot Take Friday. What is your hot take this week?
You know what? There's an old saying that if you got two, you got none. But I like this saying better. If you got none, you really got none. And when you go into the season with a question mark at quarterback instead of a starting quarterback, you get what you deserve.
I think everybody – I watched ESPN, Corey. They told me Carson Wentz was going to be back with Frank Reich, and it was going to be like 2017 all over again.
You know what? We start every season like this where everybody's amazing and everybody's going to have the comeback year of the year. You know, when somebody really goes out on a limb, it's when they say somebody's not very good and this isn't going to work out. I mean, that's for me, that's saying something. Because, you know, last year, you know, when everybody insisted – that Cam Newton was going to be the answer and was going to, you know, be united with Belichick and was going to be amazing. And I said, no, because Cam Newton's not very good anymore. But I felt like I was howling at the moon. Nobody wanted to listen to me. Cam Newton's not very good anymore. Carson Wentz has been very good for 2 years. When you're not very good for 2 years, it's hard to believe you're going to be good in the third. It's like Victor Arvidsson. Victor Arvidsson's numbers declined for 2 years. His impact on the ice declined for 2 years. You could see it. All you had to do was watch. I didn't
like I heard you talking earlier that you've always been suspect of Carson Wentz. I didn't know much about Carson Wentz. I thought he was fun to watch early in his career. The last 2 years, he is dreadful to watch. And I just, you put all your eggs in that basket, like I said, you deserve to be picking in the top 10.
I celebrated the Carson Wentz signing when it happened. And I'm not celebrating a guy's injury. Like, don't get me wrong here. Like,
we don't want him to stink. We want him to be great, but it is what it is.
I'm not, again, I mean, I want the Titans to win. I think everybody knows that. But I also want to do it the fair and square way. I mean, like, I want to beat Carson Wentz. I don't want Carson Wentz to be hurt. But when I celebrated the Carson Wentz trade the day it happened, which happened to be the first day that I ever met Caroline Fenton, but when that trade happened, I was working out, I stopped, and I started celebrating because I knew, first of all, mentally this guy had to completely, you know, reboot. Secondly, he had the reputation of not being a good leader. And third, the guy's always freaking hurt. And I'm like, if that's what Indianapolis is willing to take on Ryan Tannehill, then okay, fine. Good luck to you. And it's 2 days and the guy's already hurt. Like, it's 2 days of no contact. He's already hurt.
I don't mind taking a gamble on a guy that used to show some real ability, but you better have a reasonable backup plan if it doesn't work out. And they don't have one. And that's their mistake.
Corey Curtis, News 2. As always, News 2 will have great coverage of the preseason. Saw Charles Davis out at camp the last 2 days, Corey. Yep. I know he'll be on the broadcast. And I heard... It was confirmed to me. I overheard it, but Corey Curtis, I actually heard when Corey Curtis found out he will be back on the sidelines.
We found out at the same time.
If we found out at the exact same time, Corey Curtis will be back on the sidelines for News 2 during the Titans this preseason.
You know, it's interesting because the Titans, you know, the NFL is limiting the number of people everybody can have on their flights because of COVID. And normally I would fly down there with them, so. Now I got to figure out how I'm going to get everyone.
Well, we'll just take it. We'll get a bus like John Madden. How about that?
How about we get like one of those trailers, like they have downtown, like the party buses. That's like a farm wagon. And we just take that down to Atlanta.
Don't talk bad about that. That's what my girlfriend does for a living, Corey. Be careful.
I didn't talk bad about it. I said I wanted to take one down to Atlanta.
All right, let's do it. Sold. Call up Sprocket Rocket, and Corey Curtis and I are going to pedal our way down from Broadway.
No, I'm not pedaling anything. I'm riding behind a tractor.
They have tractors there, but we are going to pedal from Broadway to Atlanta for the first game on News 2. How do you feel about that?
I don't feel very good about it, but if you're going to do it, I'm in.
There you go, Corey Curtis, News 2, as always. Corey, appreciate you. Have a good weekend.
All right, bye-bye.
Yep. Okay, so Kevin Bowen of 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis will join us in the next hour. So we will talk to him about the Carson Wentz injury. Good job, Ryan and Ian, getting that together on short notice. But we will have that. Again, the breaking news today, Carson Wentz hurt at practice yesterday. Carson Wentz misses practice today. Then NFL Network reports going to see a foot specialist. Then Mike Silver reports it's a ligament, it's a bone, he heard a pop, surgery is likely. That's a mess in Indianapolis. What does it mean for the Titans? We'll get to your texts and your calls on it next. 615-737-1025, Fireball Hot Take Friday continues. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Let me tell you something about my friends at Hiller. They are absolutely outstanding. They've been working on my homes for 3 years. And when I say working, it means they come like a couple of times a year because I want a new light fixture here, or I almost never have problems. Because when I do, Hiller fixes it like that, and it is done and taken care of. That's why they have a 4.8 out of 5-star rating on over 15,000 online reviews. Guess what? Get your grilling must-haves when you improve your home with my friends at Hiller. Free Yeti Tundra Cooler with the purchase of a new tankless water heater. Free Traegerwood Pellet Grill with the purchase of a new whole home generator. And a free Traegerwood Pellet Grill with the purchase of select new HVAC systems. Hiller's work is backed by the Happy You'll Be or the Service is Free guarantee. These deals are only happening for a limited time, so make sure you call now. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Nashville Predators and the Tennessee Volunteers. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Still July. There's a lot of time, more than a month to go before the season. No one needs to rush anything. Obviously, you want Carson Wentz out there when it matters. But if he doesn't play in a preseason game, Mike, because he's nursing an injury and they want to make sure he's 100% for the season, that really is fine. So as you mentioned it, they're going through tests now. They do not have a conclusive diagnosis, but this is a foot that is going to be planted on a lot. It's going to be used a lot. It needs to be perfect. I wouldn't be surprised if they take him off the field for some time to make sure that they get this right. And, you know, the other part of this is, I would also mention, the Philadelphia Eagles are watching too. Their draft pick compensation for Wentz is tied to his playing time.
70%. So
this has a multitude of people.
70% in the playoffs or 75% no playoffs.
There you go. That's Carson Wentz, the latest. Now, that was Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, who was talking about, you know, if he misses some preseason games, if he misses a little time here or there, it's not the end of the world. Then we're hearing the Mike Silver report, NFL Network, who's saying it's a ligament, it's a bone, he heard a pop, and surgery's likely. Guys, that does not sound to me on this Fireball Hot Take Friday, and I'm not a doctor, and I'm not a foot specialist, but that does not sound to me like a guy who's going to miss a couple of preseason games. That sounds like a surgery. And I'm thinking back to this. Javon Kearse broke his foot, and it was one of those little bones, and Javon Kearse's career was never the same. And Javon Kearse broke one of those metatarsals in his foot, and he was never the same after that. And he missed. It was week one, so early September, and he didn't come back until the Titans played the Patriots in December on a Monday Night Football game. So that was 3 months. So if Carson Wentz misses 3 months, the Indianapolis Colts are halfway done with the schedule. And it should be noted, I think the Titans and Colts, Ian, are done after Halloween. Like Halloween, or done before Halloween.
I want to say it is right around there. I think you are exactly right. It is right at the end of October.
I think their last game with Indianapolis is like October 30th. So they're done before Halloween. So this is a major development. Again, the injury with Carson Wentz and the reported surgery, the reported visit to a foot specialist, the reported pop that he heard, that is a big development.
Yeah, week 3 and week 8, which is October 31st, Halloween. I mean,
you have to think that if the Titans sweep Indianapolis this year, they have no shot of competing for that division. I mean, I didn't think Indianapolis had much of a shot to compete for the division with Carson Wentz. But now you're hearing surgery and ligament and bone. And I follow overthecap.com. I think they do a really good job. And I don't know the guy's last name. I should know it, but I don't. But Jason at Over the Cap, because his Twitter handle is Jason_OTC, and he doesn't put his last name there. And again, that he is the salary cap and contract expert at overthecap.com. He tweets out, not much available at quarterback. Wonder if the Bears would consider trading Andy Dalton to allow Justin Fields to start. Maybe a Brian Hoyer from New England. Nick Mullins in Philadelphia. I think he's the backup now to Jalen Hurts. He could be an option, says this guy. And that Carson Wentz's cap hit this year is $20.4 million. So, I mean, I think you're more likely to see Foles than Dalton as far as the option that Indianapolis would turn to. But I don't think the Colts can sit on their hands here and let Jacob Eason take more starting reps at practice. I think they have to get somebody in. And it's like we were just talking to Corey Curtis, and I said, you know, Foles, Jacoby Brissett, or Phillip Rivers. And I think those are the three options for Indianapolis. If it's Foles, you heard what Corey said, that the Bears would give everything in the world in order to get Foles off their team. So maybe, you know, you trade a conditional pick there, you bring Foles in. But I'm not sure Foles scares me very much as far as Indianapolis having him as their quarterback. Certainly better or scares me more than Jacob Eason, but doesn't really scare me a lot. Brissett, as Corey brought up, he's just a guy, and he may not even want to go back to Indianapolis. You know, the Dolphins, he signs as the backup to Tua Tagovailoa, And maybe he thinks, you know, Tua's going to struggle again like he did last year, and they're going to put me in the game. And Indianapolis didn't want to give me a chance, so screw them. So maybe he doesn't even want to go back there. And then Rivers is retired, and even that doesn't scare me very much. First of all, knock on wood, the Titans don't have a similar issue. But, wow. Again, we will continue to follow this because this is a developing story, and this has major implications. I saw we sent out a tweet in which we said, Ian, you may know more about this than I do. Apparently, the sports books are just getting powered right now with people putting money on the Titans to win the AFC.
The odds are shifting, you know, in real time here as far as who's the, you know, the odds to win the AFC South, over under win totals, week one totals. I mean, it's all shifting in live time.
All in the Titans' favor.
The Titans are now minus 105 to win the AFC South, and the Colts are now plus 135.
What were the Titans before the injury? Do we know that?
Earlier today, it was plus 110. And so holy it's smokes. Already gone from plus 110 to plus 100 to minus 105.
Now, I still, for the life of me, I have not figured out how everybody, even with Carson Wentz in Indianapolis, is so gung-ho about their chances to win the division.
Well, I mean, they have a good defense, right?
Do they?
Well, Buckner is still there.
Buckner's okay, but
Leonard's
the rest of their defensive line,
still there,
rookies.
Right?
Yeah, but their secondary, you know, Rock Ya-Sin has been a very big disappointment for 2 years in that secondary.
I think a couple of their other second. What is it, Kenny Moore? Did they bring back Rhodes, I want to say? I think they have a couple of good players on defense that people like, and everybody loves Quentin Nelson. They love the running back.
Jonathan Taylor,
you know. So I just think there's some name power with some of these guys that maybe elevates them more than they should. I don't know.
About five or six people have texted into the text line. Our text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com on this Fireball Hot Take Friday. About five or six people have texted in and asked, what about Marcus Mariota?
Yes,
I see
that.
Or could the Colts go after Mariota? Let me say this, and you all know I want Marcus to get a second chance as much as anybody. And I was rooting like heck for Marcus when he went into that Raiders game on that Thursday night. I think they played the Chargers.
Twitter was fun that night, wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness. I was watching the game. I was up here at my house just watching the game. I think I was getting some work done or something. And all of a sudden, I see Carr start limping. And I'm like, oh, they gonna put Marcus in the game? And they put Marcus in the game. And I'm sitting there watching it. And I'm like, go, Marcus, go, Marcus, go, Marcus. Let me say this. I don't think he knows the Frank Reich, that Philly system.
That'd be a quick turnaround.
So here's who would know it. Quarterbacks associated, just like how we talk about with the Titans, right? Where it's anybody who's associated with the Rams, the Packers, the Falcons, the 49ers, and I think there's one other team, the Bengals. Anybody that's associated at quarterback with those teams probably can come in and know this system. DeShone Kizer's last team, for example, the Green Bay Packers. So those guys are kind of all the same. I think if the Titans had an issue at quarterback right now, Blake Bortles would be the one to come in. The Colts, I believe, are an Andy Reid coaching tree team. That Frank Reich system is Doug Peterson from Philadelphia, which was Andy Reid. So you're looking at Kansas City, Chicago, Philadelphia, Indianapolis, and I'm wondering if I missed anything along the way. I think that's it. So that's what you're looking at when it comes to bringing a quarterback in, which is why I brought up Brissett, who's been through it, and that's why I brought up Foles, who's obviously been through it, and we know all about Rivers. I mean, I don't know who's out there that's got the Kansas City ties to it. You know, Chicago, I think, has three quarterbacks, but I mean, again, none of these guys really scare me. Stephen Holder, who covers the Colts for the Athletics, just tweeted out, says, what I know about Carson Wentz, the situation / timeline is fluid based on everything I've been told. Bottom line, he says, quote, I don't believe this is a worst case scenario. Will he miss significant time? ? I'm anticipating that, but the Colts seem pretty chill from all my interactions. Privately, Holder writes, They're certainly not reacting like a team that just lost their starting quarterback for a significant portion of the season. Take that for what it's worth. So the Colts are not panicking today, even though all of the information that we have heard on Carson Wentz, I feel, is somewhat panicable. Fair?
Fair.
Sam texts into the text line, I put 250 on the Titans to win the division this morning when the Colts and Titans were both plus 115. DraftKings now has the Titans at minus 110 and the Colts at 140. I mean, again, I thought the Titans were going to take this division rather easily with Carson Wentz. And when he talks about missing a significant amount of time, like define significant, because when you're a new quarterback on a new team with new wide receivers, anything is significant.
Even if you do kind of know the coordinator system and the coach and all that kind of stuff, it's still going to take a little bit of time.
Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the biggest benefits to Ryan Tannehill's career was that he got to sit the bench for a month, because he comes in, doesn't know the system, but he gets a whole regular offseason as the backup quarterback, a regular training camp as the backup quarterback, and the backup quarterback, unlike the starting quarterback, gets a lot of reps in the preseason. So in that Sunday night football game where the Steelers in the preseason embarrassed the Titans and Mariota got pulled because Vrabel thought they couldn't block for him, Tannehill got a lot of time. And Tannehill got a lot of time in the entire preseason. Then he gets to watch every week as they install the game plan. He's already a veteran guy. And then he goes in and plays. That is an ideal situation. Carson Wentz joined his team in the middle of a pandemic. Yes, they had an offseason program, but the rules were still a little different. They're still a little different now. Wentz didn't even play much last year. Wow. So what is a significant amount of time? If it's camp, that's a significant amount of time. If it's missing a month, including the first Titans game, that's a significant amount of time. So maybe it's not the season. But Jacob Eason at quarterback, even if it's for a month, that probably sinks the ship of the Indianapolis Colts as far as competing with the Titans is concerned. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Let's give something away. I'm in a good mood. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday, so I'm going to give something away. We'll hit the headlines. Ian will have that for us next. Live music is back at Ascend Amphitheater and coming to First Bank Amphitheater. To celebrate, Live Nation is offering $20 all-in concert tickets on select shows now on LiveNation.com for a limited time only while supplies last. Be caller 5 right now at 615-737-1025 and you will win a pair of tickets to one of the shows that they are offering, which include Alice Cooper, Counting Crows, Modest Mouse, and more. Headlines next, Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday, TSP at 1025 The Game. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. We are following the developing story out of Indianapolis. Carson Wentz injures his foot. He is going to see a foot specialist. Surgery is possible. According to Mike Silver, NFL Network, it's a bone. It's a ligament. It was a pop. Now, a bunch of people locally in Indianapolis, Stephen Holder covers the Colts for The Athletic, says privately the Colts are not reacting like a team that just lost their starting quarterback for a significant portion of the season. Take that for what it is worth. Holder writes, so we will be following that, and we will be joined in a little bit over 30 minutes by Kevin Bowen, who is the Colts reporter for 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis at 4:30. So we've got that covered. It should be noted today at practice, I said earlier today, Ian, that Daniel Munyer, the backup center, fumbled a snap yesterday, fumbled another snap today, and had bad snaps all day long. I turned to the gallery at practice and I said, I think this is going to be the first guy cut. Like that if I was general, I would not be surprised if this guy was cut by 3 o'clock. And he has not been cut, but the Titans have added two centers, Patrick Morris.
Yep.
And Spencer Pulley to the roster, and they waived an injured Elijah Nakansaw. And so they haven't cut Munyer, but they brought in two centers today. I feel pretty safe in saying that Munyer's probably not going to make it very long. Ian's in for Caroline. It's time for headlines.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company. Right here on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Shoot me straight, Ian.
All right, well, let's start with a little bit of an Olympic update here. With the overall medal count, the United States now at 41 total medals, first place, behind number two, the People's Republic of China, with a total of 40. So Megan Rapinoe with a game winner in the penalty kicks today to get past Japan for the women's soccer to get them into the next round. So how much Olympics have we been taking in here?
So here's what's weird about the Olympics, and I've been watching it some, and I've got into it. I mean, the swimming, for me, it's the swimming and the running is always the most fun of the Summer Olympics. You know, if there's good basketball like us versus somebody who's good, then I'll watch it. Gymnastics, I'm not a huge gymnastics guy. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I didn't even know. I met like a famous gymnast one time, and I didn't even know that they were a famous gymnast. So gymnastics, not really my thing. I can't tell what's taped and what's live.
I know. They need to do a better job of labeling the screen. What is live and not, to be honest.
And I know in my heart it shouldn't matter. Like, I know that deep down inside, I should be able to do one of those things where it's like, hey, whatever works for me, like, whatever that, if I haven't seen it, it's new to me, like, I should be okay with that. And I still can't. Like, I can't do it. And so I struggle with that. Is that weird? Like, I have a hard time with what's on and what's not.
No, I don't think that's weird.
And we haven't gotten into, you know, like baseball medal and things that I would probably care about.
Especially in this day and age when we use Twitter so much for our sports news. You know, everything breaks and happens so quickly and in such real time. It can be tricky to figure out what has happened, who are they playing, was this... You know, what time of day was this going on? So it does get confusing. I've been trying to watch some late at night. You know, I watched some volleyball, some of the men versus Brazil volleyball last night, which was pretty entertaining. And, you know, a little bit of the women's basketball. I watched some of that, too. Some of these late night ones I do like to watch since it's live. Also, today, Twitter's been abuzz. The Major League Baseball trade deadline. I don't know if you've been able to keep up with all these names going
it's
around.
It's been wild.
It's been wild. The Giants reached a deal for the Cubs for Bryant. The Mets are trading for Baez. All types of just crazy trades around the Major League Baseball. And it's just been a wild, wild trade deadline.
Do you know what's wild about this? So you're Javier Baez goes to the Mets. Steven Strasburg and Trey Turner go from Washington to the LA
Scherzer.
Dodgers. I think that it's wild. And you know what's crazy? I don't hear anybody talking about it. Like, I don't hear any of, like, my friends, unless you have a team. And I'm a fan of the Braves, and the Braves have added players, which makes no sense to me whatsoever. But I seriously, and I cannot believe it, but I seriously... Here, like all these big names, if this were 2003, back when I was a kid, I mean, it'd be the number one story. It'd be the number one story here. Like right now, it'd be the number one story we're talking about. And it's not even that. Like baseball just, and I know the NBA draft was last night. That doesn't move the needle as much anymore. I mean, it's weird to me how football-centric our society has become. Because the Olympics don't have the same juice. The baseball trade deadline with mega names from big teams like the Cubs to the Yankees, the Cubs to the Red Sox, the Nationals to the Dodgers. Like, it just doesn't matter. And I am stunned by it.
And here we are just talking about Carson Wentz all day.
And here we are talking about Carson Wentz and whether or not Anthony Firkser is going to be a top flight tight end like Kevin Byard said.
You did bring up the NBA draft. The Vols got two players drafted in the first round last night. Keon Johnson was picked 21st overall by the Knicks and then traded to the Clippers. Jaden Springer goes 28 to Philadelphia. Did that surprise us at all? Do we think that's, you know, where we thought they would go? Do you think Johnson's the better pro prospect?
I have a couple of problems with the NBA. I think the first NBA thing is they got to announce the trades in Lifetime. Like, I hate watching the NBA draft when it's like, okay, so on this pick, Phoenix is trading it to Orlando as part of a three-team deal that's going to send some guy I've never heard of to Boston, and this guy's actually going to be on the Celtics. And it's like, with the 24th pick, the Phoenix Suns select, and he's got a Phoenix hat on, and he knows he's not going to Phoenix. You know, in the NFL, for example, we get the, there's been a trade. The Dallas Cowboys have traded this pick to the Indianapolis Colts, and everyone's like, who are the Colts taking here? And then the guy puts the Colts hat on. That's the first thing. The second thing is about the NBA draft is it just takes too long. Like, let's go. Get the picks in. I see you tipping them off. And it's like 8 minutes before the next guy's picked. And I've already seen on Twitter three other guys have been taken. So that drives me insane. I think Keon Johnson's got a shot to be a good NBA player. The NBA, the one thing that we forget about with the NBA, these guys are babies. They are young. And so Keon Johnson's like 19. So he's got a lot of time to develop his game. And if it's anything like all the other guys that Rick Barnes has recruited that don't do anything in the NCAA tournament, he'll be perfect going forward into the NBA. Those are headlines from Ian, who is in for Caroline today. Fantastic job, Ian.
Thank you.
We are keeping up with the breaking news story. What is going on in Indianapolis? What is the latest? And I have to ask this question. Does it make that much of a difference? Does it really make that much of a difference? We'll get to that coming up next. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Stillman and Company. Caroline's out. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.